The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
More Aer Lingus cancellations, reports of large queues, complaints of dirty toilets and overflowing bins. The problems at Dublin Airport are continuing, but it's not only in Dublin that the problems are happening. All over continental Europe there are issues. We're going to cross to the UK, to Spain and to Germany to get an idea of how their international airports are coping. But first, News Talk reporter Aoife Kearns is coming to us live from Dublin Airport. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, tell us what the situation is. You're in Terminal 1 at the moment.
Yes, I'm in Terminal 1 at the moment, and I'm here since early on this morning, where, as you may have heard, 21 Aer Lingus flights have been cancelled here in Dublin Airport today. It's understood of the 21 flights that have been cancelled, 19 are related to staff absences due to COVID. So 19 of those flights COVID-related. And then the other two are relating to a strike that is ongoing in France at the moment. And those two flights are cancelled and were supposed to go to Bordeaux in France. There's certainly a sense that the summer season is in full swing anyway. There's loads of families here queuing up. I'm just beside the bag drop at the moment, and obviously the school summer holidays and all of the rest finished up, school finished up earlier on this week. And just in terms of queues, the queues seem to be moving relatively well, although they are starting to increase around this time. Earlier on today, they were moving a little bit more freely. But passengers say that they're giving themselves plenty of time still, just in case there are any delays, and giving themselves maybe 3 or 4 hours. But I actually spoke to a woman from Kerry who actually left last night at 12:30 in the night for her flight at 11 o'clock because she was so nervous that the delays would mean that she wouldn't make it to the US. And another person I spoke to had just gotten off a transfer flight from the UK. And I mean, this is an international story in that these delays are being felt worldwide and cancellations are being felt worldwide. So this person from the UK said that where she was coming from, the delays were also being felt.
Our flight got delayed about 2 hours and we were getting a connecting flight, so we stopped over then in England, and then we'd barely made our flight. We literally arrived at the gate as it was closing, and the lines in England were like the way they used to be here, like they were hectic as well.
Now, Aoife, that's what's happening today. What are the predictions for tomorrow? I mean, Aer Lingus, given the staff shortages due to COVID, you don't get better from COVID overnight. So what are they saying is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, it's expected more cancellations will take place tomorrow. At the minute, there will be 10 Aer Lingus flights that are going to be cancelled tomorrow, Saturday, from Dublin Airport. And then, in relation to those flights, of those flights, 6 are due to COVID absences among staff members. But again, 4 of the flights are due to be cancelled because of this industrial action that's taking place in France. And 4 flights cancelled there that were due to come into Dublin Airport from Lyon in France.
All right. Any problems with the baggage? I mean, you talk about the bag drop. Is there a big queue at the bag drop where you are?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, the queues are increasing at the minute. There's definitely a queue, but at the same time, it's moving along well. People that I've been talking to that have just arrived on are surprised at how things are kind of moving along at the minute. I mean, people are giving themselves plenty of time to come and they are expecting the queues, but it is moving along relatively well. Mm. At the same time, it's summer season. There's
yeah, but you know the way you used to be able to queue for the boarding pass check where you show your passport, your boarding card gets you through, not the passport, the boarding card gets you through into the airside. And when I was out there the last time, the queues were horrendous. They were up and down the main concourse. What are the queues like for security at the moment? Are they still up and down the main concourse before you get through that check?
Oh, yeah. Well, the queues for security, I mean, they're still significant queues. But at the same time, I would say they're not out the door, if you know what I mean, Pat. They're not the queues that we would have seen in weeks gone by. And I think that passengers that have arrived on are kind of pleasantly surprised with how things are moving at the minute.
Okay.
But
That kind of clock on the wall that tells you from this point, you have so many minutes to get through security. Can you see that clock from where you're standing?
I'll tell you now, I'm just by the window, so I can't quite see it now, just because for signal purposes. But I'm not 100% sure now. Sorry about that.
No worries. I'm just wondering, is it the hour or the hour and a half? Because often people see it and they think from the end of the queue, it's only an hour. But it's an hour from that point where you pass the clock. That's the issue. Anyway, Aoife, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to the UK now. Vincent McAvinney, a freelance journalist there, is going to tell us what's going on in their airports. Vincent, good morning.
Good morning.
We had reports of problems in Manchester, problems in the London airports. What's the latest?
Yeah, those problems have been continuing, but not to the same scale. And what they've decided now to do at Gatwick, for instance, is be proactive. So in July, they will have 75 flights roughly less per day. And in August, it'll be about 150 less per day in order to make sure that things work more smoothly, because there's a backlog not just in the hiring of baggage handlers, but also the airlines themselves just simply do not have the staff levels required for maintaining the schedule. And in the UK, that is very much being down to not the efforts of the companies and the airlines themselves to recruit, but the backlog is in the security vetting for all those people to get passes to be able to move through the airport. So that is where the pinch point really seems to be coming. And that's why it's all the airports that are being affected.
Now, what are the airlines saying? Because on one level, this could be good news for them, depending on what their booked load factors are. Because if they're, you know, 95, 96% fully booked, they're going to have a real problem trying to get their promised passengers to the destinations. On the other hand, if they're looking at load factors of maybe 70, 75%, they have lots of capacity and they can just run fewer, fuller flights, which will make them more money.
That does seem to be happening. What they're doing is consolidating. If they've got five flights per day to a destination, they're consolidating it down to three or four and trying to get as many passengers on board as possible. So that does seem to be what they are doing. But there is also the threat, I've got to say, of industrial action pending over the summer as well, which could add further complications to all of this. So we know that the check-in staff at Heathrow have already in the on the Terminal 5, which is the main British Airways, American Airlines, and the one that I think Aer Lingus uses as well. The check-in staff there have voted on industrial action to have walkouts throughout the summer. They haven't actually announced the days yet, but we anticipate they will be in the school holidays. The school holidays here start about the third week of July. So that could cause real disruption at Heathrow. And there are reports, when we saw the train strikes recently as well in the UK, lots of other unions, teaching unions, other airline unions coming out and saying that they would likely have strikes, all to do with pay, of course, with inflation at points through the summer. So that is going to be the other complication here.
I thought Brexit was supposed to do away with all of those problems in the UK. You know, lots of prosperity for everyone.
I still haven't found those Brexit magic beans.
Now, you've been through Dublin Airport yourself. What did you make of it, Vincent?
Yeah, I went through Dublin Airport this week in the Terminal 1. When I came through on Monday when I arrived, between all of the baggage carousels, there were just mountains of luggage stacked up of previous flights. And if you looked at the tags, they were all around the world. It seemed to have come in the day before that. And there was just a bit of sort of no one around to ask what was happening, because the carousel was where I was meant to be collecting my bag. There was a huge queue from a desk where people were asking what was happening to their luggage. And there were just people sitting on a lot of the carousels. It wasn't clear what was moving and who you could ask. And then yesterday going through, the check-in on British Airways wasn't too bad, but some of the other airlines, Ryanair, it looked really long. Getting through, I know where you were talking about, getting through the scanning of the pass through the automatic gate, there was no queue at that point, but the queue for security was pretty long. That was about sort of 40 minutes to get through there. And the terminal seemed pretty busy. The shops, though, there was no problem getting food or drink or anything like that. But I have to say, and it's something I've seen at the London's Gatwick Airport in the past 2 months, something I've seen at Heathrow as well, the cleanliness just doesn't seem to be in place. You know, the bathrooms are pretty bad, but just generally airports at the moment just aren't the nicest places.
All right, Vincent, thank you very much for joining us. We'll go to Spain, a very popular destination for thousands of Irish holidaymakers. Graeme Keighley, a Spain correspondent with The Independent, is on the line. Graeme, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, all the problems, you know, the airlines will say, well, it's the baggage, that's your problem. But of course, the airlines generally employ the baggage handlers, not the airports. How are things generally in Spain?
Well, so far today, not too bad. There have been no cancellations, the unions report at 9 o'clock this morning, but 21 flights have been delayed. The worst is in Palma, in Mallorca. About six delays there, but no cancellations. This compares with yesterday, 54 flights were cancelled and over 300 delayed. worst affected was Malaga and then a Barcelona airport for cancellations. This is just to do with the Ryanair strike. And of course, EasyJet workers are beginning their strike from the 2nd, that's tomorrow, obviously. They're striking for 8 days, different days throughout July. So,
yeah, I mean, they hope the workers hope to strike on EasyJet the 1st today to the 3rd, the 15th to the 17th of July, and the 29th to the 31st, all in pursuit of what they want to get from their employers. So it's going to be a turbulent time, if you'll pardon the aeronautical phrase, for passengers.
Yes, absolutely. Passengers, unfortunately, should expect cancellations or delays, and should keep in touch with the airlines as they always tell them. What is concerning are reports from here about people being left at airports, particularly in Palma and Ibiza, left to sleep in the airports to try and find accommodation if they don't want to sleep in the airport. Baggage, as your previous correspondent mentioned, dumped around various airports, and a pretty unpleasant experience.
Yeah. Now, the question of the cleaners' strike, which airports will that affect? Because people could be faced with mountains of rubbish.
Yes, they could. So far, it seems that Barcelona is the main airport that's going to be affected by that. But it's unclear, could affect other ones. These workers can cause a lot of disruption, mainly in getting your through security and those kind of things, because the cleaners tend to be able to either picket the airports, as I've seen on previous occasions. So it remains to be seen what kind of effect they have.
All in all, it won't be pleasant travelling this summer, that's for sure. Graham Keighley, Spain correspondent with The Independent, thank you very much. Some of the comments coming in: I'm due to fly to Barcelona on Tuesday, back on Friday the same week. I have definitely to be back before next Saturday, so my flight back can't be delayed. Well, that's out of your control, I'm afraid. Flew back from London on Wednesday, 2 hours late. Went through Gatwick Wednesday. It was complete mayhem. Only 3 security lanes were open. The queue was a mess, over an hour to get through. The good news from Dublin Airport: Aoife has just been back on to us because she didn't want to be where I wanted her to be because of the signal. So she's gone to where the clock is, and it's showing 10 minutes to security from that point in the terminal where the clock is displayed. Thomas Sparrow joins us now from Germany. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about your airports first before we talk about the ingenious idea of the German government to get people to travel, but not necessarily in the air. So, talk to me about the airports. Which ones have difficulties?
Well, and I'll borrow your very ingenious aeronautical phrase that you used a second ago to describe the situation here, because we're seeing here in Germany also a very turbulent time when it comes to people that have decided to fly, to go on holidays, especially in this summer period. There are different elements that come together to explain this. On the one hand, the fact that a lot of people are actually trying to travel now for the first time in 2 years, given all the coronavirus restrictions that were in place. There is a very evident increase in people wanting to travel abroad. Some of the destinations are similar to those in other European countries. And the second element, which goes hand in hand, is the fact that many German airports, especially the biggest airports, so Frankfurt, Düsseldorf, also here in Berlin, are facing very, very clear shortages. And I'll just give you one concrete example. According to a study that was released not long ago, only ground personnel in German airports, there are over 7,000 people missing there. Now, the government, to sort of change that, has been discussing a lot in recent days the possibility of bringing in foreigners, for example, from Turkey, to try and resolve this situation on the short term. However, experts have stressed that that will not have any impact immediately on the current situation, because bringing people from different countries, going through all the security procedures, mm-hmm. making sure that they can work here in the country, is not something that will happen overnight.
So the short-term problem cannot be addressed by this short-term solution. That's a longer term. Did the German airports and the German airlines do as we did in this country, was to make people redundant during the COVID pandemic to try and save money? And, you know, under our labour law, people who were made redundant and got payment for that cannot be re-employed for at least 2 years.
Well, some people here, actually in most areas of society, got what was described as Kurzarbeit. So basically that you work from home, that you're still employed, but you get only part of the money that you were entitled to. Basically, so you're not made redundant, you're still working, but you're not getting obviously the full amount. But that's only part of the problem here in Germany. Part of the other problem, according to experts, is that people who worked in that area, in airlines or in ground personnel, quickly realized during the pandemic that that particular area was going to face problems, and they moved to other segments of society and they haven't moved back. So basically, it's not only a problem of not having enough people who can work on short term in this summer period, it's also trying to get some of the people back that they couldn't get earlier. So it's a much wider problem.
Yeah. And Thomas, generally speaking, is there what would be categorized as full employment in Germany?
In general, no. There's also obviously unemployment here in the country, but there are certain areas in particular that have been mostly affected, especially after the coronavirus pandemic. And one of those areas is clearly the travel industry. We knew that already in advance, and that's why there have also been discussions in the political level, a lot of controversy as to why this is actually happening now. This is something that, according to politicians, could have been prevented or at least managed much earlier instead of now, when everyone is really planning their holidays. Now, one thing that is important here in Germany, I don't know what it's like in all other European countries, is that holidays for kids are not all at the same time. So depending on where you live, in which area or in which state, your holidays are in different periods. That is precisely to avoid everyone here in Germany with kids going on holiday at exactly the same time. So this is something that could actually help this time round, because essentially you have a very long summer period, but not everyone is willing to travel, let's say, go to Spain or to Greece at exactly the same time as maybe it happens in other countries.
All right. Now, there are a couple of things reported. Hamburg Airport, the trade union Verdi, were going to go on strike today just as the school holidays were beginning. And the union representing ground staff in Lufthansa also are likely to go on strike.
And Lufthansa is a particular example here, because they're obviously Germany's most important airline. And in fact, what we heard not long ago, in fact, only a few days ago, was that the head of Lufthansa, Carsten Spohr, actually apologized for all the situation that we're seeing in Germany's airports. He said that Lufthansa also wants to be very open when it comes to this. And there is no short-term solution, he stressed. This is something that's going to go on for some time. Lufthansa, but other airlines as well, are expecting some sort of normalization in the winter. So in other words, the summer period could still be very turbulent here in Germany, especially for people who want to travel abroad by plane.
Now, if you decide I can't take the airports, I would prefer to go overland, there is a bargain, a really terrific bargain, available to one and all.
That's correct. So it's basically a project that was implemented by the German government to offset high prices caused in particular by the war in Ukraine. But it also has to do with the overall goal by German authorities to help people or make sure that people use alternative sources of transport, and especially sources of transport that are more environmentally friendly than, for example, traveling by air. And in this particular case, it's a €9 monthly ticket, valid for 3 months, so €9 times three for the summer. And people can go on all local and regional trains across the country. They can't go on high-speed trains like the ICEs, Germany's famous ICEs, but they can go on regional trains or local trains throughout the country. So I pay €9 a month. Actually, today is the first day of July. So I pay €9 a month. And then with that, I could travel, for example, to the North Coast or to Bavaria on regional trains. It would take a very long time, but it's been so far very successful, with over 21 million tickets sold in June. And that excludes people who already had season tickets. Season ticket holders automatically apply for this, so they get money reimbursed. And there are about 10 million season ticket holders here in Germany. So you have 30 million people in the country that are now using this €9 ticket over the summer. And there are obviously discussions as to how that could be continued after after August when the program ends.
Now, if I visit Germany as a tourist, can I avail of this?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's for everyone available. So you just get you arrive in Germany, you go to one of the stands or one of the kiosks where you can buy these things. It's readily available. You pay your €9 and off you go. It's you can use that on any local transport in any city. So if you buy it in Berlin, you can also then travel, let's say, to Frankfurt. And in Frankfurt, you can use the same €9 ticket. Or you can go to Munich and do exactly the same. The only caveat there is that you can only use local or regional trains. You cannot use any of the high-speed ICE trains. There are completely different price ranges for that.
Yeah, and you can't use first class, I believe.
You can't use first class, certainly. And if you want to go with a bike, there are other conditions as well. But basically, here in Germany, in those kinds of things, you can easily see online as well what trains you can use or what trains you can't. The rule of thumb for anyone visiting Germany is you can go on red regional trains, you cannot go on white regional trains. White regional trains are normally the ICEs that are the intercity trains.
And if I do want to bring my bike, I can buy a ticket for my bike.
You can absolutely buy a ticket for your bike. And actually, a lot of people are doing that here in Germany in the summer. Lots of people like to travel around with their bikes and they go first on the train from one area of the country to the next. So what a lot of people are doing is they buy the €9 ticket, which they use the whole month. And then for the specific segments that they want, they'll simply add the bike ticket, which they can also buy in one of the kiosks where you buy normally tickets. So very easy, and it's been very successful so far. As I said, plenty of discussions here in Germany as to whether they could extend this program or a variety of this program once it ends in at the end of August, because what the government has seen is that a lot of people are using it. There have been some problems with full trains, with also some trains being cancelled or redirected. But all in all, German authorities believe this is certainly one of the more successful programs that they have implemented to try and offset those prices caused by the war in Ukraine.
Okay, and obviously saving people who might otherwise have driven the price of petrol and diesel. Thomas Sparrow in Germany, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.